teams up with God Almighty, there is nothing, there is no thing that is impossible to them that believe. And I am intrigued because, again, the very fact that God Almighty chooses to be involved with humanity, He willingly links up to my faults and my failures and your mishaps and mistakes, your low moments and high moments. And most assuredly, one thing we know for sure is that God is a very present help in time of trouble. Would you shout amen? The Bible reads in Joshua chapter 6, verse 16 to 20. And it came to pass in the seventh time that when the priests blew with the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. And the city shall be accursed, and even it and all that are therein to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And ye in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed when you take of the accursed thing, and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. But all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. So when the people shouted, when the priests blew with the trumpets, it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet and the people shouted with a great shout that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. You want to talk about a shout down. This was pre-Pentecost, but yet they shouted like they were Pentecostal. Is there anybody thankful to be in a Pentecostal church today? But with one loud voice, the people of God shouted, and the walls fell down flat. And Jericho has now fallen, completely destroyed. And oh, what a victorious day for the people of God. And it is now the day after. The smoke is still billowing through the air, and the dust hasn't quite settled from the walls that had now fallen flat by God Almighty's power. And through the cooperation of His people, faith was high. Jericho had fallen, been defeated, pillaged, and burned, all in a matter of 7 days. And this was a new generation. This was the Joshua generation. Moses was gone, and now Joshua was leading these people by God's commands. The commandment was simple. Everything that has value goes to the work of God. All the gold, all the silver vessels, all the bronze pieces, all the iron, everything was considered to be holy unto the Lord, and nothing was to be carried off for personal gain. It is the day after. It is the day after the great miracle and victory. Emotions were high and adrenaline was still pumping. The songs were still being hummed and sang throughout the camp. But this is the day after Jericho had fallen. This was a warring city. It was prepared to be able to do battle right there in the confines of those walls. They could win many battles just from throwing boiling hot oil over the ledge, and they would claim victory. And so they could win many battles just by hiding behind the walled city and shooting an arrow at any foe who was seen within the distance of their own eyes and the marksmen of those on the walls. But now, victory has come to the people of God. What an experience to walk in. What an experience to be feeling that type of victory. The power of God had moved so greatly upon each of them, and just with their voices they utilized for the glory and glory of God Almighty, mixed with obedience, God had given them the victory. Is there anybody in the house thankful that you've got victory today? Victory over your past, victory over things, victory over decisions that maybe you made that God wasn't involved in. Somebody say amen. Yet the command was simple. Or so it deemed so. Joshua 6:18, and ye in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed things, lest ye make yourself accursed. And when you take of the accursed thing, make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. But all the silver and all the gold and all the vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord, and they shall come into the treasury of the Lord. And I'm not sure as to what had went through their mind, but it was the day after. It was the day after one of the greatest encounters with God Almighty. And here is Achan. He has experienced the power of God. He is a man who hails from the tribe of Judah. And according to studies, you'll find that the tribe of Judah was what we call, everybody know it? Praise. Somebody say amen. There's just something about our worship that gets God's attention. There is just something about our praise that gets God Almighty to sit up and take notice. David wrote it like this in Psalms 22:1. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer. And by night I find no rest. Yet you are holy enthroned among the praises of Israel. He's saying, you are holy, you that inhabit the praises of Israel. I declare to all of us today that the Lord rests, he dwells, he sits, he gets the final say in the midst of the praises of his people. That if we begin to praise God, he shows up among us. Would you shout hallelujah? So he shows up in the midst of our praise and worship. He shows up in the midst of a worshiping group of people. And scripture declares that the Lord is looking for worshipers. And when we are worshipers, he and I, you and I and he are going to connect. My world will encounter his world. My life and your life will encounter God's life. And when that does, the natural becomes supercharged with the spiritual, and God Almighty can move, and God Almighty can create, and God Almighty can do just that. John writes it, but the hour cometh and now is when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So today, the Lord, I feel, is on the prowl for worshipers. Look at somebody now and say, are you a worshiper? You see, we should daily seek his presence. We should daily be worshipers. Let me clarify this point, though. A true worshiper does not base their worship on a moment. Because let's face it, life is a little crazy sometimes. There's ups and then there's downs. A true worshiper never bases their worship on how they're feeling at a particular moment. They don't base it on what happened during the day or the emotion at that time, because that would be easy to do sometimes. When things are going good, it's easy to praise God. When things are going terrible, it's easy to be silent. Somebody say amen. But a true worshiper will say like David, Psalms 122 and 1, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. A true worshiper will echo the words of Job, Job 13, 15, though he slay me, yet I will trust him. Regardless of how we feel at a particular moment, I will be a worshiper no matter what. Clap your hands and say amen. Somebody shout hallelujah. But you see, Achan, he grew up in this type of atmosphere. He was exposed to the power of God. Achan personally witnessed the mighty hand of God on his life. Yet the day after experiencing such a moment, we find Achan doing what he was not supposed to do. You see, Achan took what belonged to God and corrupted it for his own personal ambitions. And the people of God had been specifically warned and of the consequences of not doing as what he instructed them. Joshua told them not once, but more than once, twice, we know. Joshua 6 and 18, the commandment, keep away from the devoted things so that you will not bring about your own destruction by taking any of them. Otherwise, you will make the camp of Israel liable to destruction and bring trouble on it. Achan's sin was a clear and willful violation of divine and direct order. And he did bring trouble on the entire camp of Israel. The Bible reads in Proverbs 28 and 13, whoever conceals their sin does not prosper, but the one who confesses and renounces them, they find mercy. You see, we can't hide from God Almighty. You can run, but you can't hide. In the story of Achan, we see just how deceptive sin is and how sin can be. Right smack dab in the middle of a miraculous story, Achan was enticed by a robe, some silver, and some gold. And it was his fall. It was his demise. One look, one moment, one thing. It is what separated he and his family from walking into the presence of God Almighty or to continue to walk into the power and the presence of our Lord. You see, today, I challenge each and every one of us. We have experienced the supernatural power of God Almighty, his presence enveloping over us, and yet it is always the day after that we have decisions to make and to follow. I would say the day after. Hear me clearly today. The only way we are going to impact our homes, our families, and our communities is if we walk in the Spirit and commit ourselves to His plan and His purpose every single day. Committed to His plan, committed to His purpose, committed with a made-up mind. It takes commitment. It takes people who say, I will commit to the day after I felt His presence. I'll keep walking with Him. The day after, and the day after, and the day after. Young people, I understand you went, and what a moment that is. What a moment. Could you imagine worshiping in a congregation of 30 plus thousand young people? 33 to 37,000 has been the numbers they've been thrown around. That would be crazy, wouldn't it? Amen. The day after National Youth Congress or North American Youth, the day after you were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, the day after you received your miracle, the day after you've experienced His power and His presence, the day after a service even like this today, it is a day, it is today that we must consciously make a choice that when the shouting is done, when the euphoric message and feeling of His power and His presence isn't upon you, will you still walk with Him? The day after. Will you keep walking with Jesus tomorrow and the next day? You see, when it's just the daily grind of life, there's work, there's school coming up. I like telling my kids that. It really encourages them. They get mad. They mean mug me. They're looking at me with daggers right now. I mean, if looks could kill. Some of my parents are like, "Ooh, praise God, can't wait." Man, we're about to have a victory march up in this place. But here it is. Day after day. Not necessarily after you receive your miracle, because it's easy to serve God when God heals you of something. It is easy to, you know, walk with the Lord when you get a pay raise and everything's looking good. But the day after, when you've received that, will you keep walking with the Lord? It's the day after you've been baptized in the name of Jesus. The day after you've received His Spirit in your life. Will you and can you keep walking with the Lord? That's the question. God is very much interested in our walk with Him. He wants us to work for Him, but too often we get experience-oriented but relationship-neglected. That's where we say, "Oh, we had good service today. I clapped my hands. I worshiped a little bit." And that's necessary. The Bible says it. The Bible says, "Oh, clap your hands, all you people, and shout unto God with the voice." Why don't we just try that right now? Would you clap your hands unto the Lord? Now, would you shout hallelujah as the Bible declares it? Come on, somebody, would you stand? "Oh, this is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day. This is." But now, the day after, will you still remain faithful to the call and the committed walk the day after? Too often we get focused on moments, which is great. We need those moments. But we've got to be careful that we don't measure our spiritual success on a mere moment and forget that God, He wants you day after day after day. It is the day after. We've got to have a relationship with Him between the highs and the lows. When the music isn't pumping, when you're not feeling good, when bad news comes, are you still walking with God day after day after day? For you see, the measure of our relationship with the Lord is not based on whether or not we shouted, we clapped our hands, we worshiped the Lord, but rather are we walking with Him every day? Psalms 84 and 11 says, "For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly." Proverbs chapter 2 and 7, "He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly." Proverbs 28 and 18, "Whosoever walketh uprightly shall be saved." Micah 6 and 8, "He that hath showed thee, O man, what is good and what the Lord doth require of thee, but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy Lord." 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and 1, "Furthermore then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so you will abound more and more." You see, you and I are responsible to walk with the Lord every single day. The day after, will you still be found faithful? See, the troubling thing about Achan, he could have come forward at any moment, yet for whatever reason, he attempted to justify his sin and take his chances. He was taking his chances with sin, and sin in the hands of a jealous God can be very, very dangerous, because we really don't know when judgment will come. And there's always a ripple effect to sin. There's always consequences to living against the mandates of God Almighty. There was, you'll read in Scripture, There was a town called Ai that God's judgments was brought out simply because of one man's sin. Achan's entire family was judged because of this one sin. And it all happened just within the few days after the miraculous happening of God giving them victory. The Bible reads in Joshua chapter 7, verse 22. So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran to the tent. Behold, it was hidden in his tent with the silver underneath. And they took them out of the tent and brought them to Joshua and to all the people of Israel. And they laid them down before the Lord. And Joshua and all the people of Israel with him took Achan the son of Zerah, the silver and the cloak and the bar of gold, and his sons and his daughters, his oxen, his donkeys, his sheep, and his tent and all that he had. And they brought them into the valley of Achor. And Joshua said this, "Why did you bring this trouble on us? The Lord brings trouble on you today." And all of Israel stoned them with stones. They burned them with fire and stoned them with stones. And they raised over him a great heap of stones that remains this day. Then the Lord had turned his burning anger. Therefore, to this day, the name of that place is called the Valley of Achor. So I ask each of us today, what are you going to do tomorrow when the music isn't playing? What are you going to do tomorrow when you're tempted? What are you going to do the day after when you get back into your familiar background, surrounded by your friends, the friends you were mingling with before? What are you going to do the day after? Look at somebody, say that. What are you going to do the day after? See, the day after Achan's decision caused a ripple effect, because sin always affects others. Your decision today will impact your tomorrows. Achan and his family were totally, completely annihilated due to his inability to stay faithful. So I present to your consideration on this last Sunday of this July, what will you do the day after? And what you do the day after is just as important as the vows you made when you were under the glory cloud and under the power of God Almighty. Whatever you said today, whatever moment you said, "Lord, if you get me out of this, I'll do this, this, and this." Someone say amen. How many's ever done that? I know I have. "Lord, if you get me out of this mess, I'll be this, I'll say that." Guess what? The day after is where it really matters, because when everything is calm and the Lord gets you out of the mess you probably put yourself in, or that I put myself in, guess what? He sits you up and says, "Now what are you going to do about it?" It's the day after. The day after we feel his power. The day after he gives us victory. The day after he gives us a miracle. It's what will you do the day after? After it all. You see, what happens is his choice wiped out a generation. Isn't that hard to believe, that one man's choice affected his entire family? I mean, they even took the tent he lived in and burned it. They took the donkeys, they took the camels, they took the livestock of Achan, his sons, his daughters, and just piled them in the middle. And the Bible says that they stoned them with stones and burned them with fire. You want to talk? It sounds brutal, doesn't it? But you see, it's the day after the victory. Achan made a decision. "You know, I'll serve God so long as I have victory, but today, now, I'll do what I want to do." It's in Genesis chapter 32. The story unfolds of Jacob attempting to make amends with his estranged brother. And while in this particular journey, he has this encounter. The Bible reads in Genesis 32:24, "And Jacob was left alone. And a man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched his hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint, and he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the day has broken." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go until you bless me." And he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." Then he said, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him, "Please tell me your name." But he said, "Why is it that you ask my name?" And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, and saying, "For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life has been delivered." And the sun rose upon him, and he passed through limping because of his hip. What glory, what power had to be there and to be felt. Jacob wrestled with an angel, to which some scholars state it was a theophany or a manifestation of God in the Bible that is tangible for human senses. It is the visible appearance of God in the Old Testament. Many theologians said he wrestled with the angel or a theophany of God. It is the day after this encounter with the Lord. He could have done anything and everything he wanted. Yet we find, the Bible says in verse 31, the sun rose upon him as he passed, limping because of his hip. You see, Jacob's life and walk was forever changed by the Lord God Almighty. Will this be the way you and I walk out of this place? Will the way we walk today be forever changed? Not because of what we feel, but because we have a made up mind that the day after I'm going to walk with the Lord. The day after I feel His presence, I'm going to keep walking with Jesus. Verse 32 of Genesis 32 reads, "Therefore to this day the people of Israel do not eat of the sinew of the thigh that is on the hip socket, because he touched the socket of Jacob's hip on the sinew of the thigh." You see, the day after, everybody say the day after. The day after Jacob's encounter inspired a covenant that would follow through generation after generation. So I ask today, what will you do the day after you experience his glory? Let's all stand. What will you do the day after you have felt his power? What will you do the day after you felt his presence? Could it be that we could be like Achan and get caught up in the moment of victory, yet when we get back to living life, getting around our peers, getting around the friends from the neighborhood, and just slide back into the way things used to be? Young people that worship so greatly with such a crowd, I mean, overwhelming with ecstasy to worship with almost 30,000+ young people. You know, to feel that pull to the altar, to feel that call that God is putting on your life. What will you do the day after is what I ask. To us adults, we've experienced his glory. We have witnessed his power. But will it change the way you walk day after day after day? What will you do the day after? You see, Achan made a decision that it affected the generation that followed, because they were completely wiped out. There is no family left of Achan, because he was excited in the moment of the victory over Jericho. But whatever happened between Jericho and his moment of hiding gold and silver and cloak or garment, whatever happened, he made a decision. You know what? I'll serve God so long as I have victory. The day after, though, I'll just keep doing what I've been doing. Or could we even this moment be like Jacob in Scripture, where he wrestled with God? He had an encounter with God, but yet he made a decision that I will not stop short. I will stay committed the day after and the day after and the day after. We have a choice today. What will you do the day after you felt his presence? What will you do? What will I do the day after a miracle happened? What will I do if a miracle doesn't happen? What if God chooses not to heal? What if God chooses not to deliver? What will you do? I started researching because I started wondering about Jacob walking. He didn't hang out at Peniel. He got up and started walking. And obviously a walk with an encounter of the Lord changed the way he walked afterwards. But I started thinking about athletes and what they're told to do the day after a game. Are there any athletes here? A few athletes, yeah. Go ahead, raise your hand high. It's okay. Brother Junior, you're an athlete. Yeah. Few athletes. What? Just shout your sport you play. Basketball, football, baseball, soccer. I think I'm going to be competing with Nathan's hot dogs. I don't know. Eating contest. But you know what they say according to referee.com, what you're supposed to do the day after. They say this, and I quote, "You've been told time and time again to have an on-point warm-up routine before every game." That makes sense, right? You want to be properly tuned up to get ready for the demands of the game, but what a lot of officials don't know is that it's equally important to give your body a chance to truly wind down after you pushed it to its limits. Depending on your sport, you may run around just as much as the players in your game do. So it's crucial that you treat your body as well as the greats would. With the right one in place, a great post-game routine will help your body recover even faster than if you didn't have one. That alone is reason enough to do it. So here's what they said. Don't be a bump on a log after the game. Look at somebody and say, don't be a bump on a log. Here's what they say you do after the game. Active recovery after your game is imperative. The worst thing you can do is to stop moving. Yes, your game may last up to 3 hours. There probably were very few breaks in between. You're tired, I understand, but you were built for this. What can you do? Hit the field and run around it at least twice. You don't have to take off, they write. It's a full antelope-like sprint. Nor should you be caught casually trotting. Simply jogging is enough. By moving at a reasonable rate, you're reducing muscle fatigue, aka less soreness potential the next day. The day after you're tired. The day after you're ready to take a break. But I ask you, will you stop walking with the Lord the day after? Aching, my goodness, aching. It bothers me that he's seen the power of God, but the day after he made a decision. It intrigues me that Jacob, of all people, when you study his life, it is a unique life. But the reason why the Lord smiled on Jacob is because he didn't quit. He kept getting up day after day after day. And after his encounter with God Almighty, he said, I'm not content in being this way. I'm going to keep walking with the Lord every single day. So, what will you do the day day after North American Youth Congress, the day after you were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, the day after you felt His presence, what are you going to do about it? Referee.com says you better keep moving. If you're tired of standing and not moving, would you grab the hand of the person next to you? I'm talking spiritually now. I know somebody probably are tired of standing, but are you ready to move? Are you ready to commit to the day after? Just grab the hand of the person next to you and maybe step out from where you are to let you know you're not alone. Achan made a choice that destroyed his family. The day after, Jacob made a decision that would affect the coming generations. So today, you're making a decision. I'm going to keep walking with Jesus. Would you lift your hands right now, all across this place, all across this place? Let's begin to worship the Lord. Lord, I commit to you to the day after. Lord, I commit to you the day after. Come on, let's begin to just make a commitment to God. And I understand it's easy to commit right now because everybody's here, but what will you do the day after? And the day after. Come on, let's just keep worshiping God. Yes, in Jesus' name. Yes, in Jesus' name. All across this place, Lord. We're standing here, God, willing to commit to the day after. Lord, I pray right now, help me, Jesus, to keep walking with you.
You are worthy.
That no matter what, I'll keep walking with you, Jesus.
No one can worship you for me.
The day after I stood in your presence, God, I'm still willing to walk with you the day after.
You've done for me.
Oh God, right now I dedicate my life to you. Let me walk the day after.
Worship you for me.
God, I pray, Lord, that none of us will try to be like Achan today.
Because you, Lord,
the day after a great victory, the day after a miracle, Lord, he simply sold out.
And no one can worship you for me. All of my worship.
what will you do the day after? Will you slide back in and just go on with life as life goes? Or will you make the decision and declaration, I'll still walk with the Lord, even if it doesn't go the way I expect it to, I'll still walk with Jesus. Will we keep walking with the Lord after the victory, or even if the victory doesn't come? If God says, no, I'm not ready to heal you quite yet, are you willing to say, you know what? I'm still going to walk the day after, and the day after, and the day after. Would you lift your hands right now to heaven, and we're going to pray, Lord Jesus, I pray that you touch our minds, you touch our hearts, Lord. I pray right now, God, that we will have the commitment to walk with you tomorrow. Lord Jesus, that every day is a new day, and every day we will make a commitment that come what may, we're walking with you. I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus that you'll give us the strength. I thank you, God, for what you're doing and what you've done. Help us, oh God, to continue. Now, would you stretch your hand towards the front here? We're going to pray. We're going to pray for Chad that God will touch his life right now in the name of the Lord Jesus. I pray you reach down and touch Chad's life, Lord. Complete him. Make him full, Lord, with your spirit. I pray in Jesus' name that you'll give him the peace, Lord. Now, Chad, at the confession of your faith and your desire to follow after Jesus through the death, burial, and resurrection, we now baptize you in Jesus' name for the remission of your sin. Now would you clap your hands and celebrate the moment? We love you, Lord Jesus. We love you, Lord Jesus. We love you, Lord Jesus.
You can have it all. Thank you.
about to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, would you stretch your hand towards the front? Lord Jesus, we thank you for what you're doing right now. And I pray, God, that you will order her steps in your word, God. I pray that you give her strength, and we thank you for the remission of sins. Now, Tiana, at the confession of your faith and your willingness to be identified with Jesus Christ through the death, burial, and resurrection, we baptize you in Jesus' name for the remission of sins. Praise God. Let's celebrate the Lord today.